Why don't we pray? Father, this morning, we look to you as our God, creator of the universe. There are worlds and stars and galaxies that are beyond what we can even see with any telescope. And you are in control of every single molecule in that galaxy. You created everything here, and everything that we create on this earth is just a recreation of what you've already done. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would meet us here, that your Spirit would fill us and infiltrate this building this morning, and that you would lead my words, speak through me, fill my heart and my mind so that I'm saying what you want to say, and fill everyone else's hearts and minds and open their ears to hear what you want them to hear. Do a mighty work this morning, Father, as you are God of every inch of this room and of our being. Change us. Pray that this would not be a morning where we get information, but where we make, or you make, transformation in our lives. So, Father, this morning, prepare our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our souls for the change that you are willing and ready to do in us. Pray above all things that Jesus Christ would be exalted and, Father, you would be glorified. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider the significance of relationships in your life. Without relationships, we would be alone. Without relationships, we couldn't be saved. Without relationships, we would struggle to find encouragement. Without relationships, we would struggle to grow at all because we wouldn't have anybody in our lives in which we could learn from their experiences and from their wisdom. Without relationships, we wouldn't experience sympathy or empathy. Without relationships, we wouldn't know love, compassion, care, or concern. Without relationships, children wouldn't know the calming power of being held by their parents. Without relationships, there would be no children. Without relationships, there would be no family. Without relationships, there would be no church. But our God is a God who relates, and he relates to us and allows us to relate to him, and he gives us people that we can relate to. That's what the church is. Relationships are essential to our human experience. Relationships are necessary for the Christian experience, and relationships are mandatory for Christian growth. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. And what we're going to see here is the significance of relationships that Paul brings to mind for the Romans and expresses in himself. And these are the kind of relationships that we want to be having, okay? So let's give this text a little context so we understand. I think understanding the context is going to help us understand Paul's heart in this situation. Paul had always wanted and longed to visit the Christians in Rome. But throughout he went on three missionary journeys, and throughout those three missionary journeys, he was never able to get to Rome. It wasn't until after his missionary journeys that he finally got the chance to visit Rome. He did it under arrest, but he finally got to visit Rome. But it is at the end of his third missionary journey where he writes this letter to the Romans. He's in the city of Corinth. It's about AD 56, or 56 AD, and he writes this letter to them from Corinth. And even though he did eventually visit them, I think this letter reveals a lot about Paul's heart for these people. Paul was a Roman. He's writing to Romans. These are his people. And I think what Paul expresses is a real desire to get to meet with, to build a relationship with his people. We'll get into that more in a second. So, in your bulletin, number one, there are this text reveals two biblical actions that we are to perform. The first biblical action is fellowship. Fellowship. And the second biblical action is discipleship. So if you saw my Facebook post yesterday, it said, this fellowship, discipleship, can these two exist without each other? And I told you to come here and find out. So you're going to find out, okay? So we're going to get to that. But this text reveals two very fundamental and very important aspects to our Christian walk, fellowship and discipleship. And the question is, can fellowship and discipleship exist alone? And I think the answer is no. I don't think they can exist alone. I think you can have fellowship without proper discipleship, but they exist together. So, verse 11, Romans chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, follow along with me, "For I long to see you," that's fellowship, "for I long to see you," fellowship, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you," there's your discipleship, "that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." So let's look at this first part of verse 11 first, where Paul addresses fellowship. Let's just look at fellowship, and then we're going to look at discipleship and just see how they work together. So verse 11, Paul says, "For I long to see you." These words carry a lot of meaning for Paul. Like I said, he's a Roman citizen, and he's telling the people from Rome, Christians from Rome, just like Paul. Paul's a Christian from Rome. Okay? He's telling these people, "I long to see you." These are his people. Now, he's also a Jew, right? So, and then there are Roman Christians there are Christians in Rome who are also, some of them are also Jews and Gentiles, so you've got kind of a mixture there. But though Paul is certainly a Jew, he considers his relationship to his Christian brothers and sisters as more significant than the relationship he has to his Jewish brothers and sisters. Now, notice how weird that is, because he has a Jew, he is Jewish. That's a heritage, that's a nationality, that's blood. That's deeply rooted in who he is. He is a Jew. He is a Roman by citizenship, but he's a Jew by blood. Yet his longing is for the Christians in Rome. I think we convey this in our own relationships. We have people who are related to us by blood, right? People that we have relationships, but even though we have blood relationships, we have non-blood relationships that are more important to us. I think the best example of this is your marriage. In your marriage, you chose to have the closest relationship you will ever have in your life with someone who is not related to you by blood, hopefully. You chose to have that closeness with your spouse instead of a closeness or more closeness than you have with any blood relative. Therefore, it's not hard to see why Paul would choose to desire more than anything the relationship he has with his brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Rome than he would for those who are of his Jewish descent. Okay? Because some of the Roman Christians were Jews, but it's not their Jewish heritage that draws Paul towards them. It's their relationship to Christ that draws Paul towards them. And Paul recognizes that no matter their genetic makeup or their heritage or where they're from, that there's a connection and a relationship automatically established because they both share a common and ultimately supreme reality that Jesus Christ is their Savior. So Paul values the relationship with Christ as a greater relationship than even blood. And therefore, he longs to relate to connect to establish a relationship with the Christians in Rome because of Christ, more than his longing for his Jewish connection. So for Paul to say these simple words, "I long to see you," reveals Paul's recognition of the importance of Christian fellowship. Now, this is number two in your bulletin. Christian fellowship exists to provide a support system for believers. Christian fellowship exists to provide a support system for the believer. So Christian fellowship is the basis on which all ministry is established. Christian fellowship is the beginning of the Christian relationship, and continued fellowship enhances the continued relationship. So think about it this way. What good is discipleship if there is not first fellowship, right? What good is corporate worship if there is not first fellowship? What good is a small group or a Bible study if there's not first fellowship? Fellowship lays the groundwork on which we build up the church. And the ministries we do and the activities we pursue and all those things that we do as a church, we do on the foundation of having a relationship with one another. And as Paul expresses to the Romans, that that relationship is not necessarily the relationship we have with each other, but first founded on the relationship that we both have in Christ. We talked about last week that Christ is the foundation. We have a relationship, and that relationship is established on top of the foundation of Christ. And that's why Paul says, I long to visit the Romans. I long to see you other Christians, because we both have the same foundation. We're both building the same house. So let's connect. Let's relate. And then every ministry we do is going to be built upon the fact that we have a relationship, that we have fellowship. So, you know, I was talking to someone this week, someone in this room, and we were talking about, you know, time, you know, what we get out of sermons and whatever. And this guy says to me, you know, if there's one thing at the end of the day, for me, a sermon, what I get out of it at the end is I want to be told what I need to do when it's done. Like for them, it was all about, when it's over, what do I got to do? Okay, some people are like, I don't worry about what I got to do. I just want the information. Some of you are like, I want it to feel great. I want, you know, whatever. Everyone's got a different desire for a sermon. And this guy says, I just want to be told what to do. I'm like, well, I can do that. So there's lots of ways to build fellowship. And I'm thinking specifically in our church, what are some ways, what is something you can actually do? What can you do with fellowship? You got a cell phone? Call someone. I mean, that's very simple. You know, text message someone. Call them. Say, hey, what are you doing for lunch tomorrow? Let's meet up for lunch. Go to our Super Bowl party. I got to plug that again. So, you know, there's lots of activities we're doing. And listen, as far as I'm concerned, we have Sunday school after church. So we have service and then a little break for coffee. And then we have Sunday schools for every age group and gender. That's, if you're thinking, I don't have time for Bible study, it's more than Bible study. The first 15 minutes, we're just making fun of each other. Okay, so it's less like, it's fun, it's fellowship, we're connecting, we're relating, we're spending time talking with each other. And you ever notice that the more you just connect with each other, that eventually it becomes easier to open up about the things of God? So there are lots of opportunities and ways to minister to each other and to build relationships and to fellowship with one another. Does any, you know, if you know of anybody in your life, or maybe in this church, who's working on a project, help them. If you know someone's building something, say, hey, I hear you're building something, you know, a car or a house or whatever. Can I help you? I tell you, some of the best relational moments come from working. For men especially. Because if we don't feel like talking, it's really nice to have something to do. Right? And that's like about half the time. So for men, I would say, you know, find ways to connect with each other. Build something, man. There are people in this church who like building things. There's people, you know, there's people in this church who like building cars. Connect with those people. Or maybe it's something else. There's lots of ways for us to build relationships and build in our fellowship. It is fellowship as a basis on which the church grows. Because we're not going to grow alone. We're only going to grow together. Okay? The analogy that I used last week for that Jamie had shared with the leaders was the analogy of the trees, the forest. Okay? The forest has no thickness if there's only one tree. Right? And so the more we work together, the greater the density of this church. And the better our relationships and the more fellowship we have, the more able we are to move on past just simple fellowship and enjoying each other's relationship and moving on into what is even better, discipleship, which is where we are at verse 11. Fellowship lays the foundation for discipleship. The second part of verse 11, Paul says, and this is where he's addressing discipleship, he says, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. This portion of text is the reason why Paul longs to see the Roman Christians. He says, for I long to see you. Why, Paul? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. So, for I long to see you, fellowship. Why? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, discipleship. So to kind of summarize, this is number three in your bulletin, to kind of summarize verse 11, Paul is saying, I want to fellowship with you so that I can disciple you. Okay, I want to fellowship with you so that I can disciple you. You see the importance of the establishment of fellowship in the first part of verse 11? If Paul just wrote him a letter and said, hey, I need to meet you guys because I want to teach you some things, they'd be like, oh, okay. It kind of reminds me of the old adage, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? People want to feel like they need to be softened up. We need to be softened up, okay? In order to receive truth from somebody, we have to believe that that somebody actually cares about us. They're not just shooting information at our faces, that they're actually trying to invest in our lives and in our hearts. So a relationship, the fellowship, establishes that softening up for us to be able to dive into people's lives and help them grow and teach them. So Paul does that. He says, for I long to see you. What he says, I care about you. Let me in so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. So how and why does Paul want to disciple them? How does Paul want to disciple them? By imparting to them some spiritual gift. Why does he want to disciple them? To strengthen them. So the how is by giving them some spiritual gift, and the why is so that they would be strengthened. That's what discipleship is. Okay, and this imparting of some spiritual gift does not mean Paul's going to show up and go, I give you the spiritual gift of encouragement. He's not giving them their spiritual gift. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. What Paul means is he wants to give them some divinely empowered spiritual benefit. He wants to bless them. He wants to help them. He wants to grow them. He wants to feed them and comfort them and care for them and shepherd them and teach them and preach to them and lead them. This is the essence of a discipleship, an activity that we should all be participating in. Again, for those of you who feel like, I need something to do, you need to tell me what to do, here's another thing. Find somebody to disciple. And find somebody to disciple you. This is one of my greatest joys about being here at Grace Church is through the candidating process, I really saw the significance and importance of discipleship in this church. And it makes ministry that we do as a church, I don't want to say easier, but smoother. And it's what God commands us to do, is to build these relationships and establish discipleship relationships. But I will say this, if you are not in one, you should be seeking one. On both levels, number one, looking for someone to invest in, and number two, looking for someone to invest in you. In order for us to receive someone to disciple us, it requires an attitude of humility. Requires an attitude of humility because you have to say to yourself, somebody in this room knows more than me. And you know what? What if you're the smartest theologian in this entire room? And you think, well, no one can teach me anything. But let's say you're 45 years old. And we've got an 80-year-old in the church who has a few things he could teach you. You might know more than that person theologically, but you don't know life like they know it. You see what I'm saying? There's something we can learn from everybody. Okay? Don't think, I don't really need it. I don't need it. I'm okay. I'm good. You're not good. I mean, you might be all right, but you don't know how good it could be to have someone pouring their life into you, investing in you, teaching you. I have somebody in my life that intentionally invest in me as a pastor and as a Christian just for my growth. I need it. I don't think you guys think this, but just in case you do, pastors need help too. Okay? We need discipleship. I need to be told things that I don't know. Someone needs to show me something in the Bible that I haven't seen before. And someone needs to teach me, hey, as a pastor, you should do this, this, and that, because if you don't, this is the kind of things that happen. I'm glad I didn't have to experience that by trial. Instead, you told me, thank you. So there's lots of ways that we should, there's lots of things we should be doing that we need someone to disciple us into doing, okay? And as far as looking for someone to disciple and looking for someone to disciple you, I would suggest a very simple plan. Pray about it. Here's the thing. If everyone's praying about it, no one's actually doing it. So, as you pray and you're like, God, give me someone to disciple, and someone else is praying, God, give someone to disciple me, and those two people never do anything about it, you just got two people praying for each other and they don't even know it and it never happens. Which means someone has to stand up and go, hey, want to get together for lunch, build a relationship, and then start discipleship. I mean, it just takes an action. Just going out and doing something that might seem a little audacious for you, to step out of your comfort zone and talk to somebody in a way and say, I'd like to meet with you. Let's have lunch a few times. Let's just hang out. Your family can come over to my family. We can have dinner together. Spend a little time together. A few weeks later, all right, let's get a little more serious. That's how we're going to grow. That's going to bind us together. Okay, it's going to draw us together as a church. We're like making connections. It makes us stronger as a body, and it enables us as individuals to pursue ministries that we weren't otherwise ready or able to pursue. In doing this, the result will be, verse 11, we will be strengthened. We will be strengthened. And in being strengthened, we will be better prepared to stand against evil. Now think about this. What are the benefits of discipleship? I could go on for another half hour about the benefits of being discipled or being one who gives discipleship. But let's just summarize this in one quick sentence. You'll be better prepared and strengthened to stand against evil, to face your sin, to proclaim the gospel, to teach the word, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your family, to your peers. We'll be better strengthened to lead our families. We will be better strengthened to care for sick people and for hurting people and for lonely people. We will be better strengthened to face difficult times. We'll be better strengthened to endure through suffering. There is nothing more pleasant than already having a discipleship relationship with somebody and then life smacks you in the face. And you have somebody standing behind you to catch you. That's in your small group discussion guide. There's a verse in there from Ecclesiastes. If one falls and he's alone, who's going to pick him up? But where there are two, there's one to pick the other person up. So, when life is challenging or difficult, or you face suffering or trial or circumstance that is too much to bear, you might have people in your family, or you might have family or people you love in your life there to support you, but do you have that strong Christian bond, that iron sharpening iron relationship where someone can put their arm around you and say, we're doing this together. We've been through a lot together. We've built a relationship. We've built discipleship. I'm strengthening you, and now I'm here to support you. And now I'm going to show you, and now you see the importance of all those years of discipleship we did together, because now it's come to confront you in your face, and now I'm going to help you get through it. So not only were the years important of learning so that you're prepared for this, but you also still have me to disciple you as you go through it. It is so important that we have these relationships. We need them. And the reality is Satan puts shame on our hearts and in our minds to make us feel like I don't need that. Because actually it's very shameful, and I think this is very true for men, but I believe women are this way too. I think it's just the human nature. It's shameful to admit that I need something. It's pride that says, I know I'm good. And it's shame that says, if you find out I'm not good, then I'll feel shame. That's why we put up the pride. The pride says, don't let your shame be exposed. Don't let people see that you could use some help. And you might think, I don't really need help. I'm okay. We're not okay. We're sinners. We're not okay. We have Christ eternally. Positionally, we are in Christ. We are eternally great. But right here now on earth, we need help. We need each other. God gave us the church for a reason. And so don't let Satan confuse you and make you think, I'm going to put up my pride to prevent you from seeing my shame. It's okay. Open the door. Expose your heart. Say, guess what? I'm super imperfect. I have a ton of problems. I need a lot of help. I'll take anything I can get. We got to come in with that attitude and say, you know what? I need your help. I need your help. I need you to invest in me because there are things that you know that I don't know, and I need you. That takes, and I think this, as a man, I don't know how a woman feels about this, but as a man, that's hard to do. I'm protecting my family. I'm in charge of my family. I lead my family. I'm big and strong. I protect my family. I don't need help. You know, that's kind of a machoism that our culture has developed, and there's nothing wrong with that to a certain extent, but as men, we need to say, as God's word says in Proverbs, a wise man seeks counsel. It doesn't say a wise man seeks counsel when he's in trouble. Mm-mm. A wise man seeks counsel, period. If you're wise, you will seek counsel. And in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. So, I'm challenging men first, because we are the leaders within our homes, to take a step towards discipleship. And then I am challenging women next to also take a step toward discipleship. Now, if you are thinking, well, I go to a Bible study, so I'm okay, doesn't count. That doesn't cut it. It's great. Go to it. Absolutely. That's important. But I'm talking one-on-one life together, one person, where you can say, listen, this week was so hard for me. I struggled with, and you expose all these things you're dealing with. A conversation between you and one other person you trust with your life that you can tell them everything. You're not going to do that in Bible study. You need someone who can hold you and catch you when you're falling. And it begins with fellowship, building a relationship, opening up that door to discipleship. Verse 12, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul displays an attitude of, this is number 4 in your bulletin, humility. Paul displays an attitude of humility. I just talked about that in us. We too need to carry that attitude of humility into seeking a discipleship relationship. Because if you think, I don't need it, or I'll get to that later. You know, it was a good sermon. Yeah, it got me thinking about it. It's good. I'll start thinking about it. Great. That's good. I'm glad you're thinking about it. I mean, you got to take a step. Because the reality is, if you wait too long, you won't do it. You need to find a discipleship relationship. And in order to do that, you need to come with an attitude of humility. Because what Paul says here is that we may learn from who? Each other. If anybody in the whole world has the right to say, I know more about God than you, it's Paul. Right? I mean, Paul basically wrote how the church should function. Paul is like the guy who tells us what most of the New Testament, what God is like and how we should function and live as a body of Christ. Paul's the guy. Other than Jesus as a human being, there's no one else who knows more probably. If Paul should have said in verse 12 is, and since I know more than you, I hope you learn from me. But that's not what he says. He says that we may be mutually encouraged, yours and mine. that our faith would grow together. Paul's saying, I'll learn from you. You kidding me, Paul? I'll learn from you? That should encourage us, because for any of us who think, I know a lot, or no, I'm good, consider Paul, who said to the baby Christians in Rome, let's learn from each other. That is my hope for Grace Church. That is my hope for the church universally, but that is my hope for Grace Church. That we would be people who are relational, and we seek these relationships, and we are strengthening and encouraging each other, so that we would be people who glorify God in our lives, in our church, and in our community. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, for the truth that you have given us relationships, people to relate to, and relationships to build and grow. And I pray that as a church body, we would be people who seek each other to learn from each other, to disciple each other, to develop those strong bonds and relationships, so that we would be glorifying you in our lives and in this church and in our communities and across the world. I also want to thank you, Lord, for bringing Lisa here and for her ministry and for her husband who supports her and for the things that they're doing together. And I just thank you for the children that you bring in her way that she gets to share the gospel with. I pray that this church would be motivated towards those kinds of actions too. That we would be people who not just seek fellowship and discipleship, but ministry from that. And that we would be the people who take part in the gospel ministry for the children that takes place here. So Lord, I lift up this group to you. You know where everyone's at. Meet them at that place and lead them in the direction you want to take them for your purposes, for the glory of Jesus Christ. I pray this in his name.